What does the future hold? Examining biblical doctrines, history, and current events, it's Prophecy Time. Author and pastor Alan Davis will help you have a better understanding of biblical prophecy. Using the whole counsel of the Word of God, Pastor Davis unapologetically promotes and defends the literal, personal return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now with today's Prophecy Time message, here's Alan Davis.
Yes! My name is Alan Davis, and I'm thrilled to death that you're with us today. I am a minister and preacher of the simple gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As this great God and Savior can help a person during the perilous times of the last days. Talking about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said this, starting in verse 1, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." The apostle talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, being a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is impure desire. And notice what the wise man wrote in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 19 and 20. "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." And notice what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Are you being delivered from silly women and evil men and these divers lusts or impure desires today?
Sharing the love of Christ, it's Prophecy Time.
Church is the place to be on Sunday morning. We invite you to the Bronx Building Baptist Church this Sunday, or any Sunday, you are welcome. We are located at 2049 Bartow Avenue, the lower level, room 28, near Bay Plaza. Our service begins at 10:45. See you then.
Making a positive impact. It's Prophecy Time. please visit our church's website at www.bronxbbc.org. That site again is www.bronxbbc.org.
Another new year, same great radio station. It's Prophecy Time.
It's Prophecy Time message today is entitled, The King of the Bottomless Pit, Part 2. Paul told the brethren that they were in a spiritual war, saying this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 talks about the key of the bottomless pit. And Lucifer in Isaiah 14 goes to the sides of the pit at the return of Jesus Christ and the destruction of Babylon. Talking about this, starting in verse 12, the Bible says this, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? So at the return of Jesus Christ, the world is as a wilderness, and all of the cities are destroyed. Moving over to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, at the expulsion of Satan out of heaven earlier, at the midpoint of the tribulation period, it says this, The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, here's talking about his angels were cast out with him. So does this not imply that the devil and Satan is the head or the king over these angels? And at the return of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 25, all nations are gathered before him, the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And he says this to the goats in verse 41, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for for the devil and his angels. And so here we see this concept again in Matthew 25:41, that the devil is the leader or head of these demons, his angels, these fallen angels. Now, our text today mostly is found in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, as here we see the king of the bottomless pit. And it says this, starting in verse 1, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had the hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails likened to scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king." Here's the king of the bottomless pit. Revelation 9, verse 11. "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." Abaddon means the one who rules in hell, and Apollyon means destroyer. So Satan is the king of the bottomless pit. And today, the question that we are going to be asking and giving an answer to is, what are some key spots where Satan comes up out of the bottomless pit? And in the book of Revelation, we see two of them, one in Revelation 11 and the other in Revelation chapter 17. And so, here we have in Revelation chapter 11, the death of the two witnesses. There are at least seven facts about Revelation 11 that we're going to be looking at today. Number one, the temple of God, or the tribulation temple rebuilt. Revelation 11, 1, "There was given unto me a reed likened to a rod, and the angel stood saying, Arise and measure the temple of God, an altar, and them that worship therein." And number two, we see that the Gentiles have overrun the city of Jerusalem, as it speaks about in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 11, "But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city, where also our Lord was crucified, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. One of our seven key phrases, which are part of the 77s of Daniel. And then we move into the next verse. Verse 3, Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 6, we see that the ministry of the two witnesses is 1,260 days, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These guys need to be very close to God. Sackcloth and ashes. We certainly need to, in these dangerous days in which we live, spend more time in prayer. Serious prayer. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. So evidently these two witnesses, these men of God, have enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Fact number four, the beast or the Antichrist and Satan are very closely connected in Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. Here we see in verse 7 the fact that the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit. And here it is, verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So at the midpoint of the tribulation and on, it is evident that most of the Jewish nation has been saved. But here we see in just this statement right here, verse 8, that the Jews are not there. They've been overcome. Many of them killed, 2/3 of them killed. And let's look at a couple of parallel passages here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It's talking about that wicked one, this politician who in the last days is a wicked individual. And then shall that wicked be revealed when the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is taken away, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So here we see that man of sin, that son of perdition, that wicked or that wicked one, having supernatural power. He's able to perform miracles. And these miracles here in verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 are lying wonders or deceptive miracles. And so he's very closely connected to Satan here. Or he ascends out of the bottomless pit, the individual who gives him this supernatural power. And if we go over to Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, we see this: they worship the dragon, the devil, which gave power unto the beast, this beast out of the sea. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Number five, fact number five, that their dead bodies lie in the streets for 3.5 days, and they are not buried. Revelation 11, verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer. They're not going to be allowing their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now, here is one good parallel passage for us to understand. Psalm 79, verses 1 through 3. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem upon heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints to the beast of the earth. It's talking about these two witnesses here. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. And here we see the resurrection of the two witnesses in Revelation 11, verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entereth into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And then, number 7, the coming of Jesus Christ takes place upon the heels of the resurrection and ascension of these two witnesses. Revelation 11, verses 14 and 15, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So today we saw that the one who ascends out of the bottomless pit and gives power to this Antichrist, this beast out of the sea, this king of Babylon, is Satan himself, the devil, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So we're heading toward the day of Satan's rule. If you recognize your need of a Savior today, Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 21 that we need to be praying always that we might be worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. And if today you do not have assurance of your salvation, you need to repent, change your mind, turn to God, recognize that, yes, you have been disobedient. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gospel message is clear. Jesus Christ died. He was the substitutionary death, made the atonement for our sins. He died for us. He died in our place. If you believe that he did die, was buried, rose again from the dead, bow your head now and pray something like this. Dear God, I am a sinner, but I believe that you died for me, was buried, rose again from the dead. I accept you now as my personal Savior. Amen.
Reaching out to families throughout this area, it's Prophecy Time.
If you just prayed this prayer, we would like to rejoice with you and encourage you in your newfound faith with Jesus Christ. Please call 646-314-3625 so we can send you a booklet that will help you grow in the Lord.
If you want to make a donation to this nonprofit organization, just go to our website at itsprophecytime.org. That website again is www.itsprophecytime.org.
Your faithful prayer and financial support continues to make a difference. Thank you, faithful supporter. May God richly return your giving many times over is my prayer. From It's Prophecy Time.
A great choice for the family. It's Prophecy Time.
It's Prophecy Time is a ministry of the Bronx Building Baptist Church, which is a recognized, tax-exempt organization. Please consider this ministry in your giving. Please make out your check or money order to the Bronx Building Baptist Church and send it to Post Office Box 1370, Bronx, New York, 10475.
If you are desirous of learning more about this ministry or Bible prophecy, just go to our website at itsprophecytime.org. That site again is www.itsprophecytime.org.
Thank you for listening to It's Prophecy Time with Pastor Alan Davis. Generous listeners like you make the airing of this program possible. Contributions are greatly appreciated. Write to It's Prophecy Time, care of Bronx Building Baptist Church, P.O. Box 1370, Bronx, New York, 10475. Here's the address again, It's Prophecy Time, care of Bronx Building Baptist Church, P.O. Box 1370, Bronx, New York, 10475. Join us again for the next scheduled program of It's Prophecy Time.